Well, good morning. This is the Metro Show. My name is Greg Hewitt. I'm joined this week by Sarah Mellinger. Sarah is Director of Development for the Gateway Arch Park Foundation. There is so much happening. A lot of talk about the Gateway Arch these days in the news. Sarah, welcome. Thanks for being here this morning.
Greg, thanks for having me. We're excited to talk about the Gateway Arch Park.
And there's a lot to talk about, isn't there?
There is a lot to talk about. It is the Gateway Arch National Park is a beautiful park right here in St. Louis, and we want people to understand that they can come down and do a lot of activities down there.
Yeah, you know, we were just down there the other day, just taking a walk around, just taking it all in because we hadn't been there. We took the kids to the arch and they hadn't seen all of the new work since, you know, which had been going on for a while. And it really is stunning. The difference between how it is now than maybe 2 years ago.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're glad you came down to check it out. And you're right. It's really different. We reopened this July after being under construction for 5 years. And the museum is totally redone, along with a lot of the green spaces. And the museum is really a sight to behold. And we're really glad people are coming down and seeing the new exhibit.
Well, and there's so much to see. Now, tell me about Arch Park, which is happening. It's coming up, right?
It is. So Arch Park is basically our day devoted to dogs on the arch grounds. The Gateway Arch National Park is pet friendly, and we would get calls all the time about whether or not folks would bring their dogs down. So last year, with the help of Royal Canin, we created Arch Bark. We had a ton of fun. We had probably over 1,000 dogs last year, and it returns next on Saturday, October 13th, for the second year.
Oh, wow. That's terrific. And well, tell us a little bit about what people need to know about coming down so they can bring their dogs. What else do folks need to know before coming down?
So Arch Bark is a totally free event. Again, presented by Royal Canin, helps us keep our events free. We encourage you to pre-register for the event on our website, archpark.org/archbark. And everyone that pre-registers, those first 1,000 people are going to get a free goodie bag. And there is stuff for dogs and humans in that goodie bag. And then there's just a lot of fun things to do. We have a pause on the pavement, a one-mile fun walk, followed by live music, an agility course, dock diving, food, all kinds of things for four-legged friends and our human friends, too.
Now, tell me about dock diving. How do you make that work on the arch grounds?
So it's really interesting. So we bring in a dock and a tank so dogs can try it out, or if your dog is skilled at it, there is a competition going on and they can try that. So we encourage dogs to just take a chance on our dock, jump at you. They throw things and the dogs try to catch it and they jump in the pool, and it's really a lot of fun to watch. And dogs seem to like it, so we're glad. It's a specially constructed pool just for this event.
That's great. And you said there's a one-mile fun walk happening in addition to all of this, correct?
Correct. So the day really kicks off. Check-in begins at 9, and then our one-mile fun walk called Pause on the Pavement begins at 9:30. And it's just a very leisurely stroll through the arch grounds so that people can really see how new and refinished the grounds are and how they can enjoy them with their pets, even on a day when we're not doing an event. So it's a way to see the entire park.
And do I understand that Sugar Fire is providing the food?
Yes, Sugar Fire. We love Sugar Fire.
Then I'll be there.
You'll be there. Right. So there's good stuff, I said, for dogs and for the humans. So Sugar Fire will be on site. There'll be some other food vendors there, too. But Sugar Fire will be there with all their things that everybody loves. And so when your dog is taking a break, you can get some of your Sugar Fire and just sit on the lawn and enjoy the live music.
And it says, what's a Bark Ranger?
So a Bark Ranger is a program that is organized through the National Park Service. And if your dog is a good dog citizen, if you pick up after your dog, if you keep your dog on a leash, and a few other things that make for a good dog citizen, your dog can be a Bark Ranger and get a special bandana from the National Park Service that identifies them as a Bark Ranger. So it's really cute.
Well, I have a few neighbors who could use a lesson or two in becoming a good dog citizen.
Well, you should send them down. They can go through the Bark Ranger. They can get the etiquette book.
Now, is there any kind of pre-registration that people need to know about?
Yeah. So, again, the event is free, but we are encouraging people to pre-register. Those first 1,000 folks that pre-register will get a goodie bag. And, again, it's free. You go to our website, archpark.org/archbark. So it's archpark.org/archbark.
And why is... No. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. All you do is register, put your name and your email, and a lot of people are actually telling us their dog's name, so we love to see that, and then you'll get a free goodie bag.
Now, above and beyond just because people want to come down with their dogs and have a good time, why is this event so important for the Arch Grounds?
Well, this event, like many events we do, are really important because the Arch is an amazing tourist destination, and those folks are going to keep coming to the Arch. But what we really want the St. Louis community to understand is this is a great park where they live. It's a national park, and that there's a lot of ways to use this park other than, you know, just visiting when, you know, you've got relatives in town. We want you coming down, using the path for taking a stroll. We want you coming down to our concerts, coming down to Arch Park with your dog. But again, it's a way for the community to understand this is a really great park where they live, and they can come down and use it any day of the week.
Well, that's great. And you've done such a wonderful job, not just with the event, but with the entire Arch Grounds. Now, tell me a little bit about what it means to have Royal Canin aboard as a sponsor.
Well, Royal Canin is a tremendous partner for us, as so many of our corporate partners. And one of the things that we're really committed to is making sure that our events are free and accessible. And we can't do that without corporate support. So we are fortunate to have Royal Canin, which is a company based right here in St. Louis. Most people may not even realize that, a great pet food company right here in St. Louis. And they help us produce this event by underwriting the expenses so that we can keep it free for the community. And they joined with us last year when they were really looking for an event to sort of highlight that pet and human interaction, and we had a great time last year, and luckily they came back and they're helping us out again this year.
And there's a lot of great events that you all are a part of, and the Arch is such a great setting for all of this. We're talking with Sarah Mellinger. Sarah's Director of Development for the Gateway Arch Park Foundation, and they've got a big event. It's called Arch Bark. It is happening on October 13th, correct?
Correct, October 13th.
At the Gateway Arch. You know, a funny, quick funny story, sort of a sidebar here, but, you know, so many people have grown up in St. Louis, and the Arch is just a part of our lives. You know, we always talk about leaving town, and when you come back, you know you're back in St. Louis when you see the Arch. It's just such an indelible part of our lives. When I was a child, I was obsessed with the Arch.
And I think you have good company there.
Yeah, and I would go to... You know, whenever my parents would take me, I would always try to find a postcard for the Arch. Yet I had never been up in the Arch up until I was 8 or 9 years old. And my parents took me there one day, and I was so excited. I got to the leg of the Arch, and I just start crying. You know, because I think it overwhelmed me at the moment.
Yeah.
And I actually had that very same experience with my youngest son when he was 5 or 6 years old. But, you know, what you've done down there, it really has made it so much easier to get around. There's no having to cross busy highways down there. It's just an easy, wonderful experience for tourists and for citizens of St. Louis, isn't it?
It is, and you're so right. I mean, and your story is great, and I love it. When we have visitors, you can tell when they're seeing the Arch for the first time, and they are overwhelmed. And that was our goal, to make this really easy and accessible. And now you're right. You have this beautiful entrance into the Arch where you're, instead of dodging traffic, you're just able to take in the beauty that is the Arch. And like you said, for those of us that live here, I feel like every time we, you know, come back over from a trip, and the first thing we say is, oh, there's the Arch, you know, good, we're home, right?
Right. Yeah, it really is. It can be overwhelming for people who've never been close to it, up close and personal.
That is true. They are always amazed when they get up close and they realize just how beautiful, just the magnitude of the monument. It is overwhelming, and in the best way. It's really a happy moment when people can touch it for their first time and stand underneath it and take it all in.
Sarah, tell me a little bit about the Gateway Arch Park Foundation and what its purpose is, and maybe a little bit about not just Arch Park, but some of the other events that you're involved with.
Yeah, thank you. So the Gateway Arch Park Foundation, we are the foundation that is here to preserve the Gateway Arch Park and those grounds and museums and keep them great for generations to come. We are the group that stewarded the renovations of this project, and now we're here to make sure that all that work keeps on going. And we are responsible for providing funding to the park. So like other great institutions in St. Louis, we have a membership program and ways to support the Arch that have some great benefits. And we have, in addition to Arch Bark, we have events throughout the year. After Arch Bark, our next event this year will be Winterfest. That's the ice skating rink that we put in Keener Plaza.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that'll be back for the third year. That starts in November and runs through New Year's Day. And then, again, then we'll start back in 2019 with our free concerts. We're just finishing up our free health and wellness series where we do 28 weeks of free yoga and boot camp in Keener Plaza. We have Keener Kids, which is story time for kids. So, again, just, you know, whether it's exercise or music or dogs, we're trying to show you that there's a lot of ways to come down and enjoy this park. And so that's what we do. The foundation puts on those events and makes them available for the public.
And the arch steps, the steps down there make for quite a workout.
They do make for quite a workout. If you want to get your steps in, you can run up and down that grand staircase a few times, and you will have gotten your workout in for the day.
Listen, I did it once and thought, the goal was to come down there and say, yeah, I'll do it 5 or 6 times, and just, I'll get started slow. I did it once, and I was doubled over like Rocky on the steps of the Rocky statue there in Philly.
They're tougher than you might think, so you gotta work up to. If you're gonna do them a few times, you gotta work up to that.
Well, again, we're talking with Sarah Mellinger. Sarah's director of development for the Gateway Arch Park Foundation. So many wonderful things. Really, it was a $380 million renovation, right?
It was a $380 million renovation. It's the largest project, the largest public-private partnership in the National Park Service history. That's really significant. The Park Service needs those private dollars to help. And so our project was a great success, and that will lead to other parks hopefully following this public-private partnership model and getting their parks what they need.
Yeah, I'm sure a project like that, none of it happens on your own. You're depending upon partners and sponsors for these events and to get that work done. So there's a lot of working together, bringing folks together as part of this, isn't there?
Absolutely. Nothing like this happens with just one group working together. We have several partners on this project. Obviously, the National Park Service, the City of St. Louis, Bi-State, which runs the trams. A lot of people don't realize that. Great Rivers Greenway and the Jefferson National Parks Association are all partners on this project and brought this project to fruition. And then, as you mentioned, obviously our events rely on corporate sponsors such as Royal Canin for Arch Park. So it really is a community-wide effort, and the love for the arch is pretty evident among this community, and we're really grateful for all that support.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question I ask everyone here on the show. What is the one thing that you would want people to know about this new expansion that's happened with the Gateway Arch? What's the one thing you want folks to walk away knowing?
I think I would want folks to walk away knowing that they should be really excited about having this amazing national park in the city where they live and having a museum that tells the story of St. Louis's role in westward expansion and why this city that we all love is so crucial to the expansion of the United States and to take some pride in that.
Well, that's well put. Very well put. Well, October 13th is the next thing we need to be concerned with. It's the Gateway Arch Park Foundation teaming up with Royal Canin to bring back the second year of Arch Park. October 13th, there's a one-mile fun walk, agility course, dock diving. There's live. Do we know which live bands are out there?
It is Feel Good, Inc. will be the live music.
Nice.
Day.
There's food from Sugar Fire. You can lots of photo opportunities, too. And people love to take pictures of their dogs, don't they?
They do. And good thing you mentioned, we're running a photo contest right now. If you go to our website, if you have a picture of your dog at the arch, you can submit it and you can enter our contest and win. The winner will win a goodie basket full of all kinds of fun stuff. And we love seeing the pictures of the dogs at the arch.
Oh, that's great. Where can people go to find out more online about the event and about the Gateway Arch Park Foundation?
The best way to do that is go to our website, archpark.org, and then they can type /archpark. So archpark.org/archpark.
Got it. Sarah Mellinger is Director of Development for the Gateway Arch Park Foundation. Here to talk about the big event happening October 13th. It's called Arch Park. Sounds like a lot of fun. Sarah, thank you for being a part of the Metro Show.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing everybody on October 13th.
Back to the Metro Show. We're joined by my very good friend, Julie Pershke. Julie is the guiding force behind the run for ALD. We were involved with it last year. She came on the show and told us all about it. It was a huge success, and she is back this year. The event is happening again. It's coming up. Julie, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, great. Thanks so much for having me back.
So tell me how you became involved with the run for ALD, and maybe talk a little bit about what ALD is and how you became involved with this cause.
Yeah, my son has ALD, which is actually adrenoleukodystrophy. I know that's a mouthful. It is a rare genetic neurological disorder, and in children it affects the brain. So it's called cerebral ALD in children. I guess if there's any luck or blessings hidden inside having a disease like that, is that we knew he had it since he was a baby, because I am a carrier. So we were able to diagnose him early and get him enrolled in a research study, which most boys don't have the benefit of that and get diagnosed too late. And most of the time, the boys lose all of their neurological functions and usually die within a year or two of being diagnosed, if they're diagnosed at a later age.
So it's an early diagnosis is vitally important, correct?
The whole key to treating the boys is early diagnosis. And usually if it's a late diagnosis, even with treatment, oftentimes it's not successful.
Julie, how rare of a disease is this?
It affects 1 in 17,000 males, actually boys. So if we're talking cerebral ALD, the childhood version, it's 1 in 17,000 boys.
And it affects your son, Nicholas, who is 13 now.
Yes.
And he is doing wonderfully well. Last year we were talking about he was preparing.
A triathlon?
Yeah.
The Ironman, too?
Yes, he was preparing to be involved with the Ironman, and mm-hmm. he's become a triathlete, correct?
Yes. We're very, very blessed. He is pretty much the poster child for what can happen with early diagnosis and a successful bone marrow transplant. The only treatment right now for boys with ALD is a bone marrow transplant, and that is a very, very risky process, and a lot of boys do not even survive the transplant, as far as it wipes out your entire immune system. You take an otherwise healthy boy or a boy who already has symptoms of the disease, and you completely wipe out their immune system with very, very strong, heavy doses of chemo, and get their white blood count and their platelets and their anything that is in their immune system down to zero, and then replace it with new bone marrow. And miraculously, that can stop the progression of the disease. But you know, some boys don't survive that process because there's so much that can happen with that chemo, so many infections. There also is graft versus host disease, and the transplant doesn't take. It's a very grueling, pretty much year-long recovery. So last year when I talked to you, we were just coming off of the year-long recovery.
Yes.
He just met his a-year anniversary. And we were going on his Make-A-Wish trip, which was phenomenal.
Right.
And now we're a year out of that. So we're 2 years from transplant, a year out of recovery. And, yes, he's running 5Ks and participated in maybe 3 triathlons, and is just a huge success story.
Especially from where he came from. Now, I know that you and Nicholas spent a lot of months, many months in Minnesota. Tell us what's so important about Minnesota and the University of Minnesota.
They are one of the leading researchers for ALD, if not the leading researcher, research hospital. They were also one of, I think they were the first hospital to do a bone marrow transplant, about 40. I think they just celebrated their 40 or 50th anniversary of bone marrow transplants. And then as far as the ALD, they have the leading researchers there and the doctors that know the most about it. So that's why we went there. And his neurologist was on the team, and just really wonderful staff. And they have an ALD research center there, and they just opened an ALD comprehensive clinic because now that newborn screening is slowly taking hold, and I think it's in 5 to 6 states now. They're finding, you know, more boys are diagnosed, and they want to get them in their system, and so they can follow them from birth on with a yearly MRI and catch it early, like Nicholas. He was followed yearly with brain MRIs, and at age 10, they saw the lesions starting to form in his brain, and once those form, they move pretty quickly, and they take over the myelin, which covers the nerves in the brain, and pretty much take over the brain and start destroying every neurological function. As soon as they saw Nicholas's, we went up to Minnesota and learned about the option of bone marrow transplant and made the choice to do that. And it was a several months process because then they also have to look for a bone marrow match. And again, sadly, some boys do not have the perfect match. Another important thing is to be a bone marrow donor through BeTheMatch.org. And luckily, they found a match for him with umbilical cord blood. So when women have children in the hospital, they can donate their umbilical cord blood, which usually just gets thrown in the trash.
Right.
And that saved Nicholas's life. A small bag of umbilical cord blood. I mean, you would not believe how small this bag of blood was. Stopped the progression in his brain. And, yeah, we had to stay at the University of Minnesota for 4 months. He was in the hospital for about 40 days in seclusion. And then we stayed at the Ronald McDonald House there, so we were close to the doctors and the clinic because he had to be monitored at first on a daily basis and then on a weekly basis. We received a lot of blood transfusions and thankfully did not get any major infections, but I know that that's something they watch for.
Well, he is a very brave young man. He has been through more in his 13 years than most of us will have ever imagined going through. Now, with it being such a rare disease, Julie, I would imagine treatments are very, very expensive, correct?
Yes. A bone marrow transplant can cost in the millions or at least $1 million or more. I mean, thankfully, we had really good insurance that covered the majority of it. But we also, you know, capped out what is it called? you can edit this out.
Right. I know what you mean.
whatever you spend, the most that you can spend before the insurance comes in, we capped that out for a couple years in a row. But thankfully, we have good insurance, but not everyone does have good insurance. And thankfully, you know, all the other expenses besides all the medical care of living away from home for 4 months, I mean, thankfully, we had such a great community back here, including you and your wife and your family and our church and our friends and our neighbors who helped take care of my husband and my daughter and expenses and meals and the gift cards and everything. And the Ronald McDonald House is a huge, huge help.
Yes.
We were able to stay there for free, basically, while Nicholas was getting treated. And the research being done by these doctors is very, very expensive and cost a lot of time and money, and the federal grants, as most people know, are very hard to get and are far and few between these days. So it's hard to get that research money. And if the grants aren't received, then the research doesn't happen.
And it really is up to people like you, people who've been affected by this disease, to raise your hand in the air and say, hey, this needs some attention. And that's part of the reason why the Run for ALD is in its second year, correct?
Yes, yes. The doctors at University of Minnesota have really high hopes for families like ours who will go out and try to raise awareness, get the word out, and also raise funds. Because like I said, there are very few grants, and they seem to get fewer over the years, and it's harder to get them, and without those, they can't do their research. So last year, we were able to raise $11,000, amazingly, our first year for the ALD Research Fund at the University of Minnesota, which again is one of the leading hospitals and research clinics in the nation for ALD, and they were able to do a lot and research more about how to diagnose it earlier, and then are there other treatments that are better than bone marrow transplants, because those are so risky, and how can we also gather all the information from all these boys getting diagnosed so that we have them in one place and be able to treat them in one place, and that's what they hope for this year. They really are hoping, when we were up there this summer for Nicholas's checkups, they were so excited we were doing it again, and they wanted to see the website, and they're sending one of his doctors is hoping to actually come down for the race, and I know that
that's great.
They sent a representative last year, Kelly, who came down, and she hopes to come again, and they're just so excited because they know that, you know, we could raise some good funds for some of the new things that they're trying to do and their new clinic to help more boys, because more boys are being diagnosed early now, thankfully, to Aiden's Law.
So tell us about the event this year. When is it? How do people get involved?
It is Saturday, November 17th. It's the Saturday before Thanksgiving, so we hope to hit people before they head out of town or you know, have holiday happenings. And actually last year it was pretty warm at the start of the run. So, you know, with St. Louis weather, you never know what you're
You never
get.
Know.
And the storms held out, so it was good. And we had beautiful fall trees because it's along Creve Coeur Lake. So it's at Creve Coeur Park. And we run along the lake. It's a 5K, and we also have a 1 mile walk. And I am looking at pictures from last year right now, and the trees were just beautiful at that time. It's at 9 a.m. It's very informal, but we also have people who are really interested in running, and we do give out awards for each age group, and including my son, who always wants to take the prize home, and last year his good friend beat him out. So he's been training, trying to get that top spot in his age group this year. And then he also had a former teacher who came who actually took the overall trophies. So we do give awards out to the runners, and his soccer team came out, a lot of his classmates came out. And another important thing is we had other ALD families come out.
Yes.
There aren't a lot because it is so rare, and there are children who aren't diagnosed yet, but we had one family who had just lost their son, their nephew, in August, and his name was Nathan.
Oh, my.
And his family came out, and that was very, very hard for them, but very important for them to be there, and I hope that they're here again. And he was actually treated at the University of Minnesota also, but they're from St. Louis. And this year we hope to have Cameron's Coalition out. We have our newest ALD family member who just had his transplant here in St. Louis in March. And we hope to have his family and all of his friends out. His dad is a firefighter with the Monarch Fire District, and we hope to have them represented. But he is in the midst of his struggle right now. He is only 6 months out from transplant. He was a late diagnosis and is really struggling. He has been in and out of the hospital almost every week and needs daily care at home. And his parents, in fact, his dad, who's a firefighter, they have taken over all of his shifts so he can stay at home and help with his care because he's just really struggling and has a lot of symptoms from the disease as well as from the transplant.
Sure. So. Well, I can tell you a firsthand experience being out there last year. It was very emotional, and we met some wonderful people out there that have been affected by ALD, and just the very best people. And it's proof of how important this is, and it really makes you want to not just be involved, but to stay involved.
Well, thanks, Greg. We appreciate it. Yeah, we had another mom who lost her son at the same time that Nicholas had his transplant, who came from Indiana. So her son, Dalton, was treated down the hallway from us in Minnesota 2 years ago, and sadly lost his fight that November, 3 months after his transplant, and she came with some of her friends as well. And, I mean, kids like Dalton are why we do this, and kids like Nathan and kids like Cameron. We want to see more cases like Nicholas. Like
absolutely. And it's proof of the power of prayer and the power of science.
Definitely.
Coming together, and your son is living proof of that. So if people want to be involved, the Run for ALD, how do they get involved? Is there a website they can go to? Or what's the best way for them to, people listening this morning, they want to be involved. How do they go about doing it?
Yes, there's a couple ways. One, there's a sign up through Fleet Feet. We are big Fleet Feet fans. Nicholas and I do a lot of 5Ks. And so we have our run through them and on their site. So it's fleetfeetst.com/racing/run. For ALD. But if you also just go to Fleet Feet St. Louis and look at their list of runs, we are under, you know, November 17th. We also have our own website because we thankfully started our own small nonprofit after last year so we can get more sponsors, and it's called Knockout ALD. So we have a website, knockoutald.com, and it has all the info on there also. It has a link to Fleet Feet. It has also a paper form you can print out. It has sponsorship forms. It also has info on ALD, on Aiden's Law, and how you can sign the petition to get the newborn screening. It also has a link to University of Minnesota ALD Research Clinic to find out where our funds are going to be going. So that has everything on it, knockoutald.com.
Perfect. Well, I can't endorse this event, and I can't endorse you and your family strongly enough. So I want everyone, all of our listeners, to at least give it some thought and be involved in this because it is so very important to raise awareness and funds to fight ALD. Julie Pershke, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate your time, and we hope to see everyone on November 17th.